We're going to be continuing in our series today and working through Away in the Manger, looking at different characters through the Christmas story. Today we're going to be looking at the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, so if you want to turn, we're going to be looking at Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. There's a lot of different ways you could look at this passage that we're going to be looking at today in Luke 2. There's a lot of key themes. You see joy. You see the announcement of good news, the announcement of the Savior. One of the themes that you see through this is the issue of peace. And through the help of the video that we're going to be looking at today, too, we're going to really focus on that issue of peace and the peace that Christ brings. But, you know, as we start today, I just want to ask you to think, in your life during the Christmas season, do you find it to be a struggle to find peace at Christmas? Steve, with three young boys that have a lot of energy at home, a little bit of trouble sometimes finding peace? Maybe a little bit, but what I find looking back over the years and with my kids being different ages and stuff too, sometimes there's different challenges that you get, but the idea of finding peace at Christmas is there's always a lot of busyness. There's always something else to do. There's good things to do, like the Christmas outreach yesterday, things that we want to be a part of, ringing bells for the Salvation Army, or whatever the things we fill with our schedule to be giving back and being used by God. But we have Christmas parties. We've got concerts. We seem to be running constantly. Even when we are intentional to try to slow down, the busyness can sometimes keep us from experiencing peace during the season that we should be celebrating peace. But also, I actually look forward to those moments during the Christmas season of quiet moments. They do come, and sometimes you have to be really intentional with it to say, I'm not going to run tonight, I'm going to stay home, I'm going to get out a book, or I'm going to open up the scriptures, and I'm going to sit and just be at peace. It's one of my favorite things during the Christmas season is to have the tree lights on, to just sit and to read, with maybe some light Christmas music on in the background. There are ways, if you're intentional, to find times where you can focus on quieting your heart, quieting yourself, and experiencing a moment of peace. But you know, that struggle for peace during Christmas and the holiday season is one thing, but the reality is every one of us are designed in such a way that we're looking for peace within our own hearts and in our life. And you're here today, some of you may be here today and you're struggling finding peace, not through the Christmas season, but you're struggling finding peace in your life, in whatever stage of life and whatever circumstances you're facing, you're struggling just finding peace in your life. And today we're going to focus on that issue of peace and what that means. And it's my hope that today and during this Christmas season that you can be reminded that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And that we can take time individually and together to focus our thoughts and our attention on Him, that we might experience the peace that only Jesus can give. You know, peace, if you look at Webster, you're going to see a variety of definitions, but two consistent themes with the understanding of peace would be it's the absence of conflict, kind of from a negative view, like the conflict is removed. But there's also the peace in the sense of something positive. It's that sense of tranquility or quiet. And I would almost even use the word contentment. There's a contentment within our hearts, within our soul. The reality is that the peace that Jesus brings is much bigger than that. And as today, after we read the scripture and watch the video, we're going to be looking at the word shalom. Because peace, from a biblical understanding, goes back not just in the New Testament, but goes back to a Jewish understanding and the Old Testament understanding of what shalom and what peace really is. And so today I want to read the text and then have you reflect a little bit on the shepherd and his thoughts. And then we're going to reflect on this issue of peace with the hope that you not only walk out of here today with a greater understanding of what peace really means, but that you have a little bit more of an experience of the peace that God desires to give you today. Let's look at Luke 2, verses 8 through 20. Excuse me. Sorry. It doesn't help if I cover my mouth when I cough and I got the mic right next to me. But Luke 2, 8 through 20. It says, in the same region, There were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, and it had been, or as it had been told them. You know, I'm always amazed, the fact that God would choose to reveal his birth, the birth of his son, Jesus, to the shepherds. They're ordinary workers. They're ordinary people. When I lived in Pittsburgh, I said, "This is your steel worker." In Warren, you could say, "This is the refinery worker." But there's nothing extraordinary about the shepherds. They're really the common folk, and yet God chooses to announce his birth through the shepherds. But we're going to watch a video from the Skit Guys, just a reflection on the shepherd. And I hope that you, as we started today thinking about that idea, that search for peace, as you watch this, see if you identify a little bit with the shepherd and his thoughts about the search for true peace in his life.
When I was a kid, there was this one day I was troubled about something. I don't even remember what it was. My father noticed, and he comes over to me and he places his hands on my head. And he says, "Shalom, son. Do you know what that means?" "Yes," I nodded. I said, "It meant peace." Then my daddy, he knelt beside me. And he took my face in his big, calloused shepherd's hands. He said, "Yes, peace, but more." And then he put a finger on my heart. And he said, "Shalom, God's highest and most complete good be upon you. That is my prayer for you, my son." He left his staff with me, and I've looked for it, what he mentioned, shalom, all these years. When the angels came, there was no hint of wind, no clouds. Just stars. So many stars. He showed himself to us suddenly. And there was an angel brighter than stars who spoke and said, "Do not be afraid. I have good news. Your Savior has... Your Savior has been born. And he lies in a manger. And then quiet, as if the whole world is waiting to breathe. A Savior. God's highest and most greatest good. For us, for me, And then suddenly, multitudes of angels shattered the silence, saying, "Glory, glory, glory. God is on earth. There's peace on earth." My father's prayers, I've seen, finally. Shalom. Peace.
That idea of shalom, peace, is much more than what we typically, and even the Greek culture and what people would have heard in that day. They, outside of the Jewish community, they would have seen peace as more of that idea of the absence of conflict or the idea of that tranquility, and that's where they would leave it. The idea of shalom is much greater than that. Shalom is peace in that sense, but it's also the idea of completeness, being whole. There's also an aspect of the idea of a person's welfare. When we would wish someone shalom, it's not asking for God's peace to be upon them and for them to be complete and for them to be whole, but that they would be well. I love the phrase that he used in the video that I think really captures that idea of the peace and God's welfare for us, is that it's God's highest and most complete good upon us. May God's highest and most complete good be upon you. You know, that idea of peace in this larger sense, a peace that makes us whole and a peace that makes us experience the full goodness and complete goodness of God in our life, is something that comes through the announcement of this angel to the shepherds that a Savior was born. And if you listen to the video, he did a creative play on words at times of talking about the Savior who had come to earth and God's peace that had come to earth. And you see both of those things in this announcement. You see the announcement of the Savior who would be born, God with us, come to earth. And then the statement of God's peace coming to earth. If you look at Luke 2:10-11, you have the initial announcement from the one angel. The angel said to them in verse 10, it says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." These shepherds would have been part of a community of faith, a Jewish community of faith, that they would have been waiting and longing for this Savior, this Messiah who would come. They would have connected the dots when they heard this announcement. When the quietness of the night was interrupted by this angelic announcement that a Savior would be born, they understood who this child was. The announcement says it's good news. It's good news of great joy. I love the New Living Translation says it's good news that will bring great joy. That's the intent of the good news of great joy, is that when you hear this news, you're going to be filled with the joy of the goodness of the news that you're hearing. And it's not just for some people. It's not even just for the shepherds that are hearing this. The angel says it's for all people. And what is that announcement? That a Savior would be born. A Savior would be born that would be good news, not just for Israel, but for all people. This is the announcement of the Savior who God's people were waiting for, that God's people were longing for. The Savior had come, and God chose to give this announcement through the humble shepherds. It goes on in verse 13-14, though, that it goes from the one angel to the heavenly hosts. Verse 13, it says, "And suddenly there were with an angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Most understand the idea of the host here. This is probably thousands of angels interrupting the sky. Now, I don't know about you, but if you've ever been out in the woods by yourself at night, one angelic being interrupting, you understand why there's an announcement of fear not, because that would stir things up a little bit. But imagine the reaction of these shepherds, where it goes from this one angel giving this announcement to thousands of angels in the sky declaring God's praise and continuing this announcement about the Savior. You know, in most of our traditions, we take the idea of the angelic hosts as being a choir. Like, we kind of picture them as either with angel wings or they're in choir robes. The reality is the term hosts throughout most of the scripture would lend itself to this being an angelic army. And think about that, an army of thousands in the sky announcing what? Peace. It's an incredible play on words here when you understand that. Just think, this is an army beyond comprehension announcing the peace that would come through the birth of a king. This peace that was being announced, this peace that would come to earth, was the peace that Isaiah was talking about. Remember, we started this series, we looked at all the prophecies in the book of Isaiah. And all how God spoke to Isaiah all these hundreds of years before Jesus was born to speak of a coming Messiah who would fulfill all of the prophecies and all the longing of God's people. It was a peace that would come through this child, this coming king, a peace that would be connected to the coming Messiah. This messianic peace was central to what Isaiah had prophesied about. In Isaiah 48, verses 18 through 19, we see in part of Isaiah's message, there was a message of judgment on God's people, Israel, because they forfeited God's peace in walking in disobedience. And yet, even while much of Isaiah is giving that word of judgment to God's people, there's the promise that God would restore them. That while they were disobedient, while they had fallen, that God would restore his people, and not only restore his people, but provide a Savior for all people. In Isaiah 48, verses 18 through 19, you see a picture of what Israel lost through their disobedience. He says, "Oh, that you paid attention to my commandments. Then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Your offspring would have been like the sand, and your descendants like its grains. Their name would never be cut off or destroyed from before me." You know, moving away from my notes, at times I reflect in my own life where I've forfeited God's peace by not choosing to walk in his plan. You know, sometimes I think when we choose our way instead of God's way, we think that we're going to figure things out in a way that's going to be better for us and it's going to make us happy, going to make us content. And yet, human experience, definitely in my experience, is when we walk away from God's plan, we don't truly experience the peace that God wants us to experience. Like Israel, we have to come to a place of repentance and a place of turning back to God and putting our hope and our trust in him. Isaiah, though, spoke of this promise. He gave the announcement of judgment on Israel, but he gave the promise, and we looked at Isaiah 53 a few weeks ago, when he spoke of this Messiah, this coming suffering servant who would come bringing peace, not only for Israel, restoring Israel, but peace for all mankind. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." When we look at the manger and we see the Christ child, we have to remember his purpose. And in a sense, we have to have bifocal vision. We have to have our eyes on the manger and the gift of the Son that is God with us, who's come to live with us and to live the perfect life, but then to lay down his life on that second image that we have to keep in mind, and that image is the cross. Jesus laid down his life for each one of us. He came as a child, but he came not only to live the perfect life, he came to die in our place. That's what these words mean in Isaiah 53:5, that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. As Christians, we understand that God has given us peace through his son Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross and in his resurrection. We can put our faith and our trust in him. We're brought back into relationship with God, our Creator, our Heavenly Father. And Christ comes to live inside of us, bringing his righteousness and bringing his peace within us. And then we're charged with the responsibility of going out and sharing that message of peace to the world. Isaiah spoke of this as well. Isaiah 52:7, he says, "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns." Paul later quotes from those verses and talking about how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the good news. The good news that publishes peace, brings peace to us. For these shepherds, in hearing this news, they understood that Jesus was this Messiah that was coming. This Messiah who would come to save his people, but would be the Messiah, the Savior, not only of Israel, but for all of the world. And they understood that this Messiah would come bringing peace. The angels announced this host of this angelic army, or choir, however you want to have it in your mind. Maybe they had a songbook and a sword. I don't know. But what you see in this image is an angelic announcement of the Savior being born and that peace had come to earth. At Christmas, we focus so much on so many other traditions and other things. I just pray that we would pause. Especially if you're here and you answered those first couple questions saying, I'm really struggling finding peace through the Christmas season or finding peace in my life. I want to encourage you to just reflect today and reflect in the coming days through this Christmas season on the peace that Jesus, our Savior, brings. Be willing to surrender our hearts, to embrace Jesus into our hearts and our lives so that he might give us his peace. This week in our small group on Wednesday night, not even sure what we were talking about, but a story came back to my mind that relates to this. And some of you know the story. It's a great book if you ever have a chance to read it. Don Richardson was a missionary, wrote a book called The Peace Child. And the story that he shares, the main story that the book is titled after, he has a lot of other stories in the book, but the main story comes from his own ministry experience. He Don Richardson had worked in Irianjaya with the Sawi people. And for months, he and his family had struggled trying to make a connection and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with this group of people. They'd almost given up because no matter what ways they tried to communicate, it just didn't connect with them as a culture. They just didn't understand. They could not understand the idea of a Savior who would come and die. It was near the time that they were leaving that there was a conflict brewing among the tribe that they were ministering to and some of the other tribes, and they witnessed something that took place that brought peace among these warring tribes. When the father of one of the tribes offered their son to go and to live with the warring tribe, and their understanding of that gift was that would bring reconciliation among those two tribes and they would be at peace. And they referred to that child as the peace child. He writes, he says, "All demonstrations of kindness expressed by the Sawi were regarded as suspicion, except for this one act. If a father gave his own son to his enemy, his sacrificial deed showed that he could be trusted. Furthermore, he said that everyone who touched that child was brought into friendly relationship with the Father. Let me state that again. Everyone who touched that child was brought into friendly relationship with the Father. The Sawi were then taught that in a similar way, God's beloved Son could bring them eternal peace. That picture of this peace child, that's the picture of what Jesus does for each one of us. Jesus came as an infant to live the perfect life, as God with us, who came to live among us, to show us the way, but then to lay down his life upon the cross, taking our sin upon himself, so that we might be restored into relationship with our Heavenly Father by putting our faith and trust, not in what we do, but our faith and trust in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done for us on the cross. If you're here today and you've put your faith and trust in Jesus as Savior, you've asked and received his forgiveness, and you've surrendered your life to follow him, to embrace Jesus as Lord, Jesus, the child who brings peace, is living within your heart and bringing you that peace that God desires for each of us to experience. It's a peace that this story reminds me so much about the theme of reconciliation we see in what Jesus does. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 18 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All of this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation." You know, as I was talking as we started today about the Christmas season and how sometimes it's hard because of the busyness to find peace, I'm also aware of the fact that some of you, and one of the biggest struggles in finding peace at Christmas is your family or friends, the people that you have to spend time with during the holiday. If anyone's honest, they're not going to raise, some of your family's sitting next to you, so you're not going to talk about this, but I mean, we've probably all been there at some point, at least one family member or something. You're struggling with the idea. You know, you're fearful that you're going to be walking on eggshells because of conflict that's going on in your family, and yet you want to come and you want to celebrate Christ and want to celebrate Christmas together, and there's tension. Let's remember this Christmas season that we celebrate a Savior who not only came to give us peace in our hearts, but he gave us the gift of reconciliation. He desires to bring reconciliation among our family and among our friends where there's that distance. When we understand what God has forgiven us and the mercy that he has shown us, it changes the way that we view our family and our friends where there is tension. This Christmas, let's remember that God is the God of peace, that Christ is the peace child, that he came to give us peace, true shalom, to make us whole and to give us his highest and most complete good in our life. And the reality is all we have to do is receive that gift. We have to come to a point of understanding not only who Jesus is and what he's done for us, but to say, "I want that." And come to a place where you invite Jesus into your life. You surrender your heart, surrender your life, and just invite him in to lead. To trust his salvation and the forgiveness that he offers you, but then to surrender your life to follow him as Lord. This Christmas, I hope that you would not only understand that type of a relationship with Christ, to understand the fullness of a living relationship with Jesus by putting your faith in Jesus personally as Lord and Savior, but that through your walking with Jesus and trusting Jesus, that you would experience the peace that only he can bring. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the message of Christmas and the fact that, Lord, that you desire for us to know your love, to walk in relationship with you, and that you so love the world that you would give your only begotten Son. That whoever would believe and put their trust in him would not perish but have eternal life. Lord, I just pray even now that for each one that is here, I pray that we would each just examine our hearts and know where we are in our relationship with you, Jesus. Lord, may we be fully surrendered and may we be fully trusting in the salvation that you have given us through your Son, Jesus. And may we fully know your peace, a peace that not only would give us that contentment and wholeness in our own hearts and our lives, but that would overflow into our relationship with others. I pray for people here today that are maybe even dreading the holidays because of conflict with family. Lord, I just pray that your supernatural peace, that peace that passes all understanding, would fill their hearts and their lives and even their living rooms this Christmas. And that we would all be reminded, Lord Jesus, that you are the Prince of Peace. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.